Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Welcome to week number 15 of Survivor COVID Island. Doesn't it feel like that? It's 15 weeks. Can you believe that? I mean, this is week number 15 of hashtag DRumaAja. Although from what I've seen on the streets of Medan, it looks like hashtag DRumaKosong or hashtag DRumaNggaadaorang. That's what, I mean, it's feels like everyone, it's been 15 weeks. Can you believe it? Some people might be at home saying, is that all? It feels like it's been 15 months. I mean, it feels like it's been a long time. You know, maybe you're an introvert and you're at home saying, you know, I haven't even noticed. But you've noticed. I mean, even the introverts started to crack at 12 weeks. I know because I'm more of an introvert. It's been 15 weeks since we haven't been able to meet together physically as a church. We've been doing church online. As a matter of fact, after 15 weeks, the reason I brought up Survivor is after 15 weeks, my staff looks like the cast of Survivor season 40. And do you remember the amazing guy that would do the welcome from the stage at church every Sunday, the amazing Gary Hadi? This is what he looks like right now after 15 weeks. I mean, he's still on the stage right now, still waiting for people. And we're only able to have some of the worship team every week. The other ones that you haven't seen, after 15 weeks, they look like the members of the old band ZZ Top. No haircuts, no shave. I mean, 15 weeks is a long time. And seriously, though, some of you are struggling during this time. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are sick and tired of looking at a screen. So sick and tired of screens, you could just scream. I mean, it's gotten old. You feel like you're just tired of it. You haven't felt like yourself for a while. I know I feel it too. I miss you guys. I miss gathering together. I can't wait till we're back together again. I want to see you again personally. I want to get back together face to face. I can't wait for that. And you know, every week, at least once a week, someone asks, when are we opening the church building again? When are we going to meet again as IC Medan in Lippo Plaza? And you know, we keep talking about it and we keep watching the situation and evaluating and watching not only locally, but globally what's going on. And right now we're just still in a time of watching and waiting. I mean, maybe you've wondered that. And I want to tell you today, maybe you've wondered, when are we meeting again? It's just too soon right now. I mean, we are talking and planning, preparing the precautions that we'll need. And we're just watching the situation. We don't have a date right now. But I can tell you that right now is too soon. I mean, it's too soon right now. The positive cases in Indonesia and here, even in Medan and North Sumatra, the positive cases keep climbing. I mean, they keep going up. As the pastor of IC Medan, I'm not going to open just because finances are low. As the pastor of IC Medan, as your pastor, I'm not going to open the building just because someone else is opening or something else is opening. As the pastor of IC Medan, I will open when I know that you and your family, your kids, your parents will be safe and comfortable. That's what we're watching for. I won't risk my family, and that includes you. I won't put any of us at risk. So we're going to wait for that time. We're family. That's what the church is, right? We look out for each other. We take care of each other. We pray for wisdom. We ask for guidance. So right now, we continue to wait and watch and pray. And we pray for those that are making difficult decisions in this time. I mean, there's people having to make difficult decisions. The president of Indonesia, man, he has difficult decisions to make. Business owners, pastors, so many people are making difficult decisions. What do I do next? So we need to be praying for everyone that's making decisions, praying for those who are struggling right now. Every day you should be praying for your church family right here at IC Medan. pray for them. When God brings someone's name to your mind or you see someone's face, maybe you don't even know their name yet, pray for them. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, pray for your family member. They're having a difficult time. Pray for me and the staff as we continue to have talks and discussions and prepare. But in the meantime, don't suffer through this season alone. If you are struggling, if you feel lonely, if you need someone to pray with you or counsel you, or you just need someone to talk with, I'm available. You can contact the church, email the church, set an appointment. I'll meet with you over Zoom and pray with you or just talk. But the main thing is, don't go through this alone and don't give up. Find someone to talk to. Make an appointment with me. Get in a life group. Sign up on the website. You need people. You need to stay connected right now. Right now is the worst time to alienate yourself or isolate yourself even more. And even now, we are together online. We're separated physically, but not spiritually. We're together online, and that is one of the beauties of the church. It's one of the beautiful things. The church is unstoppable. The church is powerful. The church is life-giving. The church is world-changing. And even still, the church is a family. We are family. So what I want to talk to you about today and what God has placed on my heart is looking at this question, what is the church? What is the church? Well, we know and we've been saying it, we are the church. But what does this mean? What is the church? The perfect picture of the church is found in Acts chapter 2. Right there when the church was born, the birth of the church. And I shared these verses with you a couple of weeks ago. But let's look at this in Acts chapter 2. Verses 42 through 47, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's a beautiful image of the birth of the church. And the key word is devoted. Devoted. Look at that first phrase again. They devoted themselves. This is the first thing ever said about the church after it was formed. The very first description of the church was they devoted themselves. So the church was devoted. They were devoted to the teachings. They were devoted to each other. They were devoted to meeting together. They were devoted to prayer. Devoted, it means they were committed. They were committed. They were focused on each other. They were focused on this new family that God had just brought together, this new family that had just formed, even putting the needs of others before their own. You know, you don't know this, but this week we were able to pay for the medical bills of a refugee in our city that just faced a medical emergency. Those of you who give, you were a part of that. Why did we help him? Because he's a part of our church. He's a part of our family. He's my family. He's your family. And he was in a desperate situation, so we're able to help him. So thank you for your generosity. The first church was devoted, devoted to one another. The first church was united, all together. The scripture said they were all together and had everything in common. They were united. They didn't focus on the little differences among themselves. They didn't argue about all of the little details that don't matter. They weren't distracted. They focused on what they had in common. The first church was making a difference. Every day people were hearing the good news and were being saved. It said daily. Every day people were repenting. Every day people were being forgiven. Every day people were being set free from sin. Every day people were joining in the fellowship. devoted to fellowship, that said that they were devoted to the teaching and to fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship, which would have been the original word there, was koinonia. Koinonia. It's a word for fellowship. But koinonia doesn't mean fellowship like we usually think of. Usually when we think of fellowship, we think of hanging out. We think of eating together. Maybe a potluck where everyone brings a meal. Have you ever noticed at potlucks, there's always one thing, one dish at the potluck that no one recognizes? Have you ever been to a potluck? There's always that one dish that you see that and you think, that doesn't look like anything I have ever eaten in my life. And you don't want to. I mean, that I've been to potlucks, not here in Maidon, of course, but I've been to potlucks. I mean, we know in Maidon, the food is delicious. You go to a potluck in Maidon, everything's good. But I've been to potluck fellowships in other places where none of the food was recognizable. I mean, you know, when someone says the prayer and you think, I don't know if you prayed long enough, bro. This food needs some more blessing before we eat it. I mean, that's not what koinonia is talking about. Koinonia is not hanging out. It's not just getting together. It's not even a potluck where nothing tastes like feet. Koinonia means to participate. It means a joint participation. That's what koinonia, they devoted themselves to koinonia. They devoted themselves to a joint participation. They devoted themselves to being a part of something together. So they were devoted not only to meeting together, not just to watching or listening to church as we're having to do now, not just signing up as a member of a church. They were devoted to participating as part of the church. Why did the Holy Spirit separate in Acts chapter 2 and fall on each of them? Because each of them were important. Each of them were valuable. Each of them a needed part of the church, just like each of you is important. Each of you is valuable. Each and every one of you is a needed part of the church. The Bible says that 3,000 were added to the church after Peter preached his first message. And it says that the number grew daily. We aren't told that number so that we know that the church was growing in attendance. We're told that so we can see that the church's influence was spreading wider. They were devoted. Church growth is not about higher attendance. It's about wider influence. 3,000 people joining a church doesn't mean anything, but 3,000 people participating in church changed the entire world. That first church changed the entire world, not because 3,000 people joined a church, but because 3,000 people participated in a church. Man, the influence spread out. The church is Jesus's plan. He established it. There's no better way or smarter plan. You know, as humans, sometimes we think we know a better way, or, oh, I don't even need church, or I just do this, or I do that. Or Jesus established the church. For a follower of Jesus, it's not optional. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus referred to the church as my church. This is what Jesus set up. So what is God wanting to say to us today? What does God want to tell you right where you are? He wants to tell you two things. Number one, you need to be planted in a church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You need a church home where you participate. You need a family of believers to be devoted to. You need people who will push you to love and do good. We need each other. We were created for fellowship. Many of you know that Ravi Zacharias recently passed away. He was an amazing preacher and teacher of the Word of God. He was someone who was devoted to the church. And at his memorial, his daughter gave this very moving message, or very moving speech, and she shared something about her son. her 8-year-old son, Robbie Zacharias' grandson. And when she was talking to her son, and when her son was realizing that his grandfather was getting sick, when her son at 8 years old realized his grandfather is going to die, he told his mother, "You don't understand. I can't be me without Papa. You don't understand. I can't be me without Papa." It really touched me this week when I heard that, and it really brought to my mind how much we need each other as the church. I mean, you can't be you without your church family. I can't be me without you. I mean, we can be some version of ourselves, but we can't completely be who we were created to be without each other. We were created for fellowship. We were created to join together. We were created to participate together. Every single one of us being a part, you need to be planted in a church. And I use the word planted because church is a place to grow. And you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be planted. The second thing you need to know is that you are invited to participate in the church. Fellowship is active, not passive. Koinonia is active, not passive. Being a part of the church is not the same as being a part of a gym. You know, I walked around with a gym membership card in my wallet for a year. I only went there 2 or 3 times. So I really couldn't have said about myself, "I am the gym." But I could have said, "I am McDonald's," because I spent more time at McDonald's than the gym. But we being a part of a church is active. You're devoted to a family. You're devoted to a purpose. You're devoted to a vision and a mission. It's not a club or a hangout. It is a family that Jesus called together to change the world. So how do you participate? You participate by joining and gathering together. Right now it's online. At some time in the future that we are praying for, we'll be together physically again, but you don't forsake meeting together. You gather together. You participate through life groups. You need to be in a life group. Life groups are going on now. That verse in Acts said that they continued to meet daily, not weekly, daily. It's important that we are gathering with our brothers and sisters. It's important that we are participating. And you may feel like, "Pastor Chris, I don't really need that." You know what? This is a hard thing for us sometimes. It's not always about what we need, because there's someone that needs you. There's someone in that group that needs to hear your testimony. There's someone in that life group that needs to hear what God's done in your life. It's not all about us. "I don't need that. I don't think I'll get anything out of it." Someone else will get something out of it because you're there. You participate through giving. And man, we are so thankful for all of you who are generous and faithful in your giving. Let me tell you this, if you are a visitor with us at IC Maidon, if we aren't your church home, maybe you have a church home somewhere else and you pop in with us on Sundays, we are so honored and so happy that you do that. But you need to give to your home church where you're planted. Give to your home church. It's a part of the way that you participate, and we participate through serving. How can you serve in these days? Invite others to church. Send a link. If God's changing your life, let them know, "Hey, you need to tune into this. Hey, come and join. Someone's having a hard time. Hey, why don't you join me for a watch party this week? And I think it's going to help you out." Be a witness to the goodness of God. Just as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, "Be my witness." That's how you participate. Make Jesus famous by showing the world his love through you. You know, my entire Christian life, I have participated in church. And I've always felt amazed that I get to do this, that I get to be a part, not just being a pastor now, even before that. When I was volunteering in kids ministry or being able to help in a Bible study, everything along the way, I was so excited. I felt so honored. I get to be a part of God's mission on the earth. I get to be a part of God's family. What could come second place to that? I mean, what could even come close? What could take that place? What in your life right now is more important than that? participating in church. Some of you in this time, you feel tired. You feel a little bit anonymous. You feel lonely. You feel like you don't matter or that you're not needed. Can I tell you today, you are needed. You are important. You are a part of the family. Let's be devoted to one another. Let's be devoted to our purpose. Let's be devoted to the church. Jesus isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for participation. He wants you to be a part. He can perfect us as we go. He just needs you to be involved and to be devoted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." I read that this week and I was thinking, wow, Paul is talking about the different parts of the church participating together. Different parts, different people with different giftings and different skills and different abilities given by God through the Holy Spirit, co-workers. Co-worker implies or assumes that we are participating in something. It assumes that you are joining in and I am joining in. It assumes that we are all playing our part. Participation. A spectator is not a co-worker. A spectator is someone who watches. You know, I love the New York Yankees. I have a Yankees hat. I have a Yankees shirt. I have figurines of the Yankees in my office. I have Derek Jeter and Don Mattingly. I even have a photo of Yankee Stadium on the wall in my office. I've watched many of their games. I've watched them on TV. I have watched them live. I've been to New York. I've been to Yankee Stadium. Even still, I am not a New York Yankee. Just hearing that out loud, it hurts. I'm not a New York Yankee. I've got a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of things. I've watched a lot. I've been a spectator of the Yankees. And a spectator in sports is called what? A fan, right? Can I tell you that Jesus isn't looking for fans? The church doesn't need fans. Jesus didn't save any of us to be fans of the church. But he is calling you today to participate, to be devoted, to be a part of something bigger than you, to be a part of a family. Paul said, we are together God's building, or we could say God's temple. We may not be able to meet together in a church building right now, but together, devoted, we are the church. Let me show you this. My son Gabe built this for me just for today as an illustration. I asked him to build a building for me out of Legos. So you could call this a building, a temple, a church. And when I hear this verse, when Paul's talking about we are together, the building, when you are devoted, I mean, imagine this. Here's some of us. Here's me. Here's you. Here's maybe someone else. And we are invited to be a part of this. I don't know where we join in. We can join in different places. But when we are devoted, when you are devoted and you participate in church, you become a part of something and a part of a family. And the beautiful thing is you're not just becoming a part of a family here in Maidon. You're not just becoming a part of a family globally even. You're not even just becoming a part of a family in the year 2020, but you're becoming a part of a family that has gone on throughout the ages. When you participate, koinonia, when you participate, when you are devoted, you're joining in something with people like the names that we look up to. Peter is in here. Paul is in here. There's Jeremiah. There's Isaiah. There's Stephen, there's James, there's John, there's you, there's me. We all become part of something amazing. We are invited to participate, not to stand on the sidelines and watch, but to be the church, to be a part of it together. Co-workers, co-workers. What an honor. What a privilege that is that you and I get to be invited to something so beautiful, so amazing, so powerful, invited in to be a part of God's own family. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be taken for granted. It is important. And you are an important part. I can't be me without you. And you can't be me you without me. We're family. We're family. Let me pray for you. You may be there today and you would say, Pastor Chris, I'm not ready to participate. I'm not a Christian yet, or I'm new to IC Maidan. Hey, you know what? That's perfectly fine. You're in the right place. We're happy for you to pop in and check it out. Look at what's going on. We're proud of our family. If you look around, you'll see flaws. No one's perfect, but what you will find is people who love Jesus, people who are seeking to live with purpose and live in a way that pleases God. And you're invited to be a part of that family. You may be there and you would say, Pastor Chris, I'm not a Christian, but today I'd like to be a Christian. Can I lead you in a prayer? You can be forgiven from your sins today. You can receive a new life today. Everything can be brand new. In this moment, you can be a part of this family. In this moment, you can be a part of God's family. In this moment, everything can be changed and you can join in to something that has changed the entire world. All you have to do is pray this prayer. Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you died on a cross so that my sins could be saved and I could be forgiven. Jesus, I believe that you rose from the grave and you are alive today so that I can have new life. And I believe, just like Pastor Chris has said, that you are inviting me to be a part of your family and to participate in your mission, in your church. And I accept that invitation today, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Wash them away. Give me a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, you're a part of the family now. And lastly, you may be sitting there at home and you would say, Pastor Chris, I am already a Christian. I've been a Christian for a while. I've even been a part of IC Maidan for a while. I'm just tired right now. You know, we provided a link in the email, contact us. If you want to be a part of the church, you can. If you need someone to talk to or you need someone to pray for you, send us an email. Let us know how we can help you, how we can serve you. Why? Because we're family. And the last thing, you may be just a spectator at IC Maidan. You may feel like, you know, I've been around for a while, but I'm just watching. But now I'm ready to be a part. I'm ready to participate. I want to do something. I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to be a fan of Jesus. I don't want to live my life as a fan of church. I want to be the church. You know, that is a decision that you can make today and you will never regret it. And you're in good company. You're in a company of people, in a family of people who have changed the entire world and people right now here at home in Maidan who are making a difference. If you are devoted and you are participating, but you're just tired, let me share one verse with you before I close in prayer. This is Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You're a part of the family. Let me pray for you. Father, we're so thankful for your word today. Lord, we're so thankful for the encouragement and the reminder of what the church is, that we haven't just been called together to hang out, but we have been called together for a purpose and to participate. And Lord, I pray that right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would touch every heart that's tuning in, touch the heart of every person who is watching right now and encourage them and remind them and reassure them, Lord God, that you are inviting them to participate, that you want them to be a part of this. You don't want them to watch church. You don't want them to spectate. You're not looking for a fan, but you are looking for people who will make a difference in this world. You are looking for people who will allow their hearts to be changed and allow their lives to be filled with your power so that they can go out as a mighty, unstoppable force to change this city of Maidan, to change lives, to make a difference from here and all over the entire world. Bless your people today, Lord God. Energize us today. Remind us how we need each other. We cannot be ourselves without our family. And Lord, we are so thankful for a family. Lord, I pray your protection over everyone. Lord, I pray your peace over every family. Watch over them and their children, Lord. Let their homes be filled with peace. Let their homes be filled with joy. And Lord, I pray today that there would be a fire that is rising up inside of them as they have been encouraged by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. I loved hanging out with you today and spending time. Don't just continue in whatever you've been doing. Go out and participate and be the church. I love you guys. God bless you.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.